Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Chad Markwitz, and I'm speaking today with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of TF Metals Report. We'll put a link to tfmetalsreport.com down below this. And Craig, it's always great having you on the show to discuss our beleaguered precious metal sector and how you're looking at the markets, how you're looking at the macro setup, how you're looking at the price action in the metals. And I saw a tweet from you earlier in the week where you were predicting how things may play out as we got closer to options expiration this Thursday. And here we are on Groundhog's Day. I mean, options expiration day. What do you make of it, Craig?
Pretty remarkable. And, you know, you mentioned the macro, Chad. That's the most important thing. You know, the banker traders and the speculators and the hedge funds, they're going to fiddle around chasing dots and trying to screw each other, you know, intraday. You know, they always have, and they will as long as the system continues. The main thing that we all need to be aware of is the macro stuff and where this is all headed, and not get caught up too much, you know, and get frustrated and get wrong footed and, you know, throw up your hands by the action of the, of, you know, what really is just a casino on the COMEX. But yeah, this is, as long as I've been doing this, I've been, you know, anybody can read the tea leaves of where the open interest is in the options on COMEX as we head into option expiration day, which is today, January 26th. There's a February gold contract, so there's quite a bit of open interest in the February gold options. But there's also, even though March is the next front month for silver, there are silver options going off the board at the COMEX close today as well. And we're recording this about a half hour before said COMEX close on Thursday. And again, anybody, if you follow this stuff as I have, then you've seen this a million times. You refer to it as Groundhog Day. The banks are the primary sellers and writers of those options. And then they get turned in the wild, and the banks still hold some short, you know, they're on the short side of both the calls and the puts. And then, you know, there's some where speculators are on both sides after they've been out for a while. But you can almost always look at the open interest once you get within about a week of option expiration day and peg what would be, we call it a sweet spot, a point where if you can close the price at that level, it's a minimum amount of financial damage to any entity that, you know, is going to settle that thing out in cash. And we did it again this week. I mean, it was when price got jammed down on Monday, and there might have been a few other things involved than besides just option expiration on Monday. We can talk about that if you want. But at one point Monday, silver fell 6% over the course of a couple of hours, all while gold was maybe down 0.5% and platinum and palladium were barely moving. And to me, it was obvious what was taking place. It was all option shenanigans. And when it got to 2285, if you looked at the open interest in these options that are expiring today, you knew it wasn't going to stay there. It was going to go back up because it would have been too expensive to close price down there with all the open puts at 2350. And so up it went. And I put something on Twitter and said, now you just watch. You know, it'll get run to the upside as well before we get to option expiration for the same reason it got ran to the downside. And sure as heck, today, what did we get to, 2441 or something like that? And now and
gold even ran up to 1950.
Let's see, Pards. As we record this, there's 16 minutes to go. And silver is at 2398. Okay. Now, why am I laughing with that devious laugh? Well, let me tell you a little bit about the option structure. There are 1,081, at least last check, open calls at $24 versus only 276 open puts. So that's a net, what, 800 options at 24. You can plainly see the desire to not let it close in 15 minutes above 24. Take it to 2399. And all of those 1,081 calls will be out of the money. Those little 276 little puts will be in the money by a penny. I mean, you could, again, see this coming plain as day. And you can see it in gold as well. The key number in gold, you mentioned 1950. When I ran this chart yesterday, there were 5,040 open calls at 1950 versus a whopping 86 puts. So do you think there was any chance in hell that gold was going to be allowed over 1950 today? Not a chance. And in fact, you can go all the way down between 1950 and 1925. I mean, there's slight mismatch, but they're not, the numbers aren't large. But you get to 1925, and there were 2,338 calls versus 1,000 puts. So just like that 24 level in silver, a great incentive to close price today on the COMEX for the February gold, somewhere right around 1925. And as you said, after an earlier high today of 1949.70, I can't make this up. I've got a last with 19 minutes to go of 1927. If we talk long enough, we'll see where it finished up. Again, look, this is a minutiae for people like me that understand who the players are in the COMEX and playing around with the derivative price and all that stuff, which they do for profit. But it doesn't matter to the big picture, right? It doesn't matter to your mining shares. You know, if we're right about the trend and the macro trend and where all this is headed this year, this is just noise. It's just interesting noise on a Thursday in January.
Well, it is interesting noise, but it's fun to discuss with you, Craig. And it is uncanny how we can't get silver to close above 24 or gold to close above 1950 on options expiration day, but they take it right to the brink and then they keep pulling you back in or pulling you back down, I should say. But you're right. In the overall scheme of things and the macro picture, the trend has still been higher the last few months in the precious metals. Are you concerned at all that this action here towards the end of the month, where we've got a Fed meeting coming up on January 31st and February 1st, where they're going to do another rate hike, are you concerned that this could be a short-term top in the metals and the sector and that we may see a pullback from here?
It could be. Am I concerned about it? No. I mean, it doesn't concern me at all because, again, of the macro. And as I wrote, you know, we've talked about this the last couple of weeks. In my forecast this year, the most challenging thing over the first 3 to 5, maybe 6 months of this year is remaining patient because prices are back in those consolidation ranges between 1700 and 2000 for gold and 22 and 28 for silver, but they haven't broken out yet. And they're going to bang around back and forth, not in the full range, but they're going to try to, you know, kind of buck you off and get you frustrated over the first half of this year. And so, yeah, sure. Gold's up. Hell, Shad, gold's up $300 in not even 3 months. So it's going to consolidate. You know, it's going to pull back, you know, and I remember the last couple of weeks we've talked about, we call it seasonal, though that's not the right word, but we called it a seasonal things that were going to be in gold's face, these option expirations, the contract going off the board, the natural selling that results from that next week and in the days leading up to next week, the Chinese New Year holiday with all the Chinese markets closed this week. You could definitely see the impact of that during the London session every single day this week. And then that FOMC meeting next week, you know, with people being skittish and Powell is going to do 25, he's going to do 50, you know, and all that kind of crapola. So there's all kind of things that we're auguring for some weakness here into the last part of this month. And we've actually held in there very well, though, ever since we got that bullish cross in gold about 6 days ago. I mean, it's up. Well, I mean, it was 1895 that day and it got to 1950 today. So, I mean, it's been pretty steadily higher. It's been hanging in there really well. Any pullback is just going to happen. Any consolidation of gains is just going to happen. Again, it's all part of that. If you get too caught up in the minutiae, you're going to end up getting wrong footed and frustrated. And that's the main thing people want to avoid this year.
Well said, sir. Yeah, you don't want to get so entrenched in the micro that you miss the macro and the bigger right. trend that's playing out. However, I would say a lot of people that were technicians we brought on the show, Craig, were talking about 1920, 1921, 1923, 1925, you know, this range we've been in as a key resistance area that gold would have a hard time getting through and it would probably get swatted back down. And I'm impressed that the opposite happened, that gold actually shot above that 1920 level, which is key on monthly charts, and the 1921, 1923, depending on which platform you look at, was the previous all-time high from 2011, and that area was tagged a couple times after gold shot above 2000, came back down. So it was supposed to be this key resistance, but instead, gold got above it and has been in the 1930s, even the 1940s the last couple weeks, and silver has not fallen out of the bed. It's been stuck, but it has been consolidating sideways, holding onto its gains. It's not like it got up to 24 and then shot back down to 20 again or 21. It's held up around this 2350 to 2450 range really all month, about 5 weeks. So are you encouraged at the resilience of these metals to stay above what everybody thought were going to be resistance zones and just kind of hold their own where they're at?
I am encouraged. The dollar being, the dollar index being in this kind of pretty clear downtrending channel for the last couple of months, you know, and that continuing here the first couple of weeks of this year has helped as well to maintain kind of an algo bid for the futures contracts. So that is encouraging. You know, I started looking again at the silver daily silver chart yesterday in a different light, and we'll see if this is correct or not. But I mean, it has been a clear line of resistance at 2450 going back to the middle of December. You know, and here gold is up $100 plus year to date, and silver at if it's 2401 is exactly unchanged year to date, right? And it's like, well, what's going on here? You know, I think a different way to look at that chart rather than, oh, look, it's topped, it's really going to pull back, is kind of, you know, what a technician would call a bull flag or just a simple consolidation. Silver bottomed out before. I mean, it let everything down faster than it, you know, went down faster than everything else last year. But it bottomed out before gold in the mining shares last year, too. It bottomed out at 1750 on September the 1st. And you think by middle of December, or let's just call it January 1st, you know, the first trading day of the year, we got to 2479 or something like that. So over the course of 3 months, silver went up $7 on 1750. I mean, what is that, 40%? So you look at it in that light and you think, oh, okay, so we've gone sideways for 6 weeks. That shouldn't be surprising. Yeah, I mean, we worked off, and think of it from this technical aspect too, Shad. We worked off a lot over boughtedness, if you will. The RSI is back down to near 50, right? So we've kind of worked that through. The COT report has kind of come back down. It's nowhere near as that positioning getting heavy or anything like that. So silver may just simply, rather than be frustrated by it that it's not going higher, it may just be, you know, as it led out from the bottom, it may just be now be consolidating for a move higher. And again, so maybe gold is going to now consolidate before its next move higher. That's just another way to look at it.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. That's kind of the point I was trying to make with the fact that it didn't fall out of bed when it got up to the 24 level. And it held on to its own. And they call that correcting through time instead of price, because what happens is the chart indicators, the momentum and the strength indicators, they start cooling back off again after a hot period, because that was an epic move in silver from 1750 up to 2470. But it was really overbought. And now as it's kind of consolidated through time, it's kind of cooled back down. Well, let's shift from kind of a technical look at the pricing to sentiment. I've noticed, Craig, in talking, we talk to people every day, companies, executives, fund managers, generalists, newsletter writers. Everybody hated the precious metals last year in the fall. And now they all are loving the precious metals. Even people that are not gold bugs or silver bugs or even have noted, look at the mining stocks they've taken off. Look at the metals. They've done so well. When they look back at a 2022 summary, gold was flat for the year. Silver was up 3%. They had to admit, you know what? The precious metals have been doing pretty good. A lot of them are scratching their heads, but sentiment has improved. And we've even this week started, or last week, started seeing all these crazy volume spikes and little juniors out of nowhere where all this buying comes in. Do you think that sentiment is getting a little too rosy, or are you encouraged that at least we have some positive sentiment in the sector?
It feels, may feel rosy anecdotally between you and me and people we talk to, but there's still nobody in the sector, man. You know, it's like the old Grant Williams thing about nobody cares, right? Apple can move billions of dollars a day. Tesla can move billions of dollars a day, but yet you could buy the whole GDX for $1 billion. You know, so I don't know if, you know, we talk about it and technicians talk about it as if it's, you know, some significant thing, our own personal sentiment or what we sense. But in the grand scheme of institutional awareness and possible money flows, I mean, there's nothing. I'm going to send you a chart I found earlier this week. Maybe you can include it on this page. Found it on Twitter from Kevin Smith at Crescent Capital in Denver. You know, he works with Tavi and Dr. Henny and the team there. Kevin is, I think, the head of the place. And it's a chart that shows TSX Venture trading volume, dollar, Canadian dollar trading volumes over the last 10 years. And it came way down in 2015, like to like $50 million a day or so. I can't remember what the scale is on the chart. And then it just screams higher in 2016. And you know what happened with the shares. And then it came way down again to that exact same level in 2018. And then it just screams higher, right? And we know what happened with the shares. Well, guess where it is now again? Well, you could probably guess. I wouldn't be telling you.
Way down.
Right. So we may feel as if sentiment is better. And as we talk amongst ourselves, we talk as if sentiment's better. And it is. But in terms of having that actually affect dollars, you know, the big institutional, you know, hedge fund, mutual fund dollars, it hasn't had an impact yet. And right now, as we speak, we have 3.5 minutes to go, and I've got $24.005 for the March silver contract.
Riding that line. Well, it's amazing how it works out, Craig. You called it early in the week. We'll give you a big Turd Ferguson hat tip, an oversized cowboy hat tip on that one.
Calling that will earn me, what, a free cup of coffee, maybe? Yeah.
Yeah, free being the key word there. Yeah, so let's shift from sentiment, which, yeah, it's improving, but to your point, nobody cares still, the Grant Williams thing. You're right, in a broader sense. I think there's more awareness that gold and silver perform well and the mining stocks are moving. But in a macro sense, what's got your attention? What key news, what key economic data has your eye as we move forward? Obviously, the Fed's coming up, but anything else catching your eye as far as economic data points that you have on your radar?
All right. Well, next week's the Fed, the FOMC, and everyone's going to fawning over what Powell has to say. And they're going to talk about soft landing, you know, and all this other mumbo jumbo. And that's all well and good. Let's watch. So next Friday will be the January jobs report. And last year, and you and I discuss almost every time, this birth death adjustment, these make-believe statistical, either add jobs or subtract jobs based on how Januaries have gone in the past. Last January, it was like negative, I don't know if I've got it on my screen here, like a negative 140,000. It was 100, that birth death adjustment was a rarely seen drag on the overall number. And these numbers usually track year over year because it's kind of like a moving average, you know, how much they adjusted is kind of like a moving average of the last 20 years of that month. So what I'm getting at is next, not this coming Friday, not tomorrow, but next Friday, which will be the 3rd of February, will be the next jobs report. And there's at least a reasonably good likelihood with all these layoffs and with a six-figure negative birth death adjustment that jobs report's going to be, let's call it, below expectations. You know, all this talk today because the U.S. GDP was 2.9%, right? And soft landing stuff could be thrown out the window. And even Powell be forgotten by 8:30 Eastern next Friday the 3rd, if all of a sudden we're talking about a jobs print of like 50,000. And so that would be the next one for everybody to watch. Oh, and this Friday you get the PCE numbers tomorrow. That was always alleged to be the Fed's favorite inflation indicator. We could be back, you know, CPI and PPI were both less than expected, and the precious metals rallied because, again, this idea of long higher for longer, you know, not going to have to worry about that if inflation comes sinking like a stone. So let's watch those PCE numbers tomorrow, this Friday, and then the jobs report next Friday.
Just one more follow-up. I was going to wrap it up there, but you triggered my thoughts here. With the GDP coming in positive, with people looking at the PCE price inflation tomorrow, there is a lot of monkey chatter out there in the media about a soft landing, where these same people, the same writers, the same outlets and publications were all recession, 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 stagflation. Just a few months ago, they've all switched gears to saying, hey, we're going to thread the needle, Craig. We're going to have a soft landing. Are we still going to have a recession? Are we in a recession? How are you looking at things right now? And is that jobs report, you think, the key pivot point where people might say, uh-oh, maybe it's not as rosy as we thought?
That's the one, brother. That's the lagging indicator, right? And it's the one the Fed wants to talk about. And by the way, I just got, it's now, COMEX is closed, and I've got 24, maybe 2401 for silver. And now the gold close is going to come up in 5 minutes. It may eke out above 1925. We'll see. You know, all those regional Fed bank PMIs are all negative. Those things are batting 8 for 8 in predicting the last 8 recessions. The yield curve is, you know, sharply negative. The spread between the 2-year and the 10-year as we speak is about 70 basis points. But the whole thing's inverted from the 3-month T-bill out to the 30-year long bond. So we've got these indicators that if they're not telling you we're currently in recession, or at least forecasting that we're heading into one, the Fed just went on this course of 75 basis point rate hikes. They have no idea. I mean, as model driven as they are, there's no precedent for doing that. So it's not like they have a model to say, well, the last 5 times we've raised 75 basis points and moved rates this aggressively in 9 months, this is what happened next. This is uncharted territory. They don't have any idea what's going to happen next. And so the jobs report typically with a recession is like a lagging, and it's like the last thing to start stumbling. So we'll watch that. That's what obviously the Fed's watching too. And that's why, again, that next one that's due out in 8 days is going to be pretty fascinating.
Well, Craig, thanks for sharing your outlook on the pricing action, on the sentiment, on the macro drivers, and also the play-by-play of options expirations as it was happening in silver.
Yeah, this has been fun.
It's been like a sporting event where we should drink beers and do this next time, Craig.
Hey, you know what? Every month we've got a chance to revisit it. So anyway, and it does look like it, with just a couple minutes to go, maybe just a little drop in the dollar index is too much for the, you know, any individual one trader to overcome. And we got gold back up, the February gold's back up to 1929. So those 1925 calls are going to add finish, it looks like, at least a couple of bucks in the money. But hey, mission accomplished. They're not 25 in the money. They're only, you know, four. So anyway, it's been a fascinating week. Next week's going to be fascinating too. And again, the ultimate, if I can share any advice, words of wisdom from the grizzled old gray beard who's going to turn 57 in 2 days, just try not to get caught up in the micro. As you said it very eloquently, it's the macro, not the micro, and it's never been more important than here in 2023.
Well, thank you, you grizzled old gray beard, and happy early birthday to you, Craig, and we look forward to talking again next week.
Thank you, my friend.